All right, well, today on our oral history story sharing, we have Cheryl Ann Weeks, and she's gonna share a little bit about herself, and then we're gonna hop into her story.
Yes, I will. So I will tell you a little bit about myself. I was born in Barbados. I grew up in Boston. I have been a counselor, 21 years. Wow. 21 years. This is my 9th year as an international counselor. And I've kind of been going a lot of places. So I started in the DR, Dominican Republic. And initially I was only going to do it for 1 year. And then I decided to keep going. So I've been lived in Jamaica, Ethiopia, Thailand, Egypt, and now here I'm in Abidjan, Ivory Coast.
Okay. Wow. So lots of places and lots of spaces over 9 years. Yeah. Which place would you, if you could return one place, which would it be and why?
You know, people ask me that a lot, and I am not sure. Initially, if you someone had asked me that maybe 4 years ago, then it would have been Jamaica. I really liked the school in Jamaica. I liked the kids. It was easy to live. And I think I would have said Jamaica because it was an English-speaking country, whereas Ethiopia, Thailand, Egypt, and now here in Ivory Coast, people speak another language. So sometimes the transition is hard for that reason. Now that you ask me now, I have no idea. And I probably would say none of them.
Okay. So, Wow. So speaking of which, you know, you talked about language. So how do you prepare? I remember when I first went to Vientiane Lao and they said, be prepared. You know, you will have English at the school, but when you leave the grounds, it's going to be a different world. So how do you get ready? How do you prepare for that?
Well, for some people, you can do Duolingo. It's funny, when I moved here, my mother was like, oh, you can use Duolingo. I didn't do that when I moved to Cairo. Cairo, even though people speak Arabic, there's enough expats in Cairo, like in Thailand, because I was in Bangkok, where it's not as big of a deal. You can learn. I always try to learn how to say hello, thank you. How do I get to the bathroom? I learned traffic, how to say my address in that language. I learned how to say when I get in a taxi to say, go straight, go left, go right, stop here. So I always learned those terms, and I used to know them in Thai. I don't know them anymore. but I did the same thing in Cairo, and I do the same thing here. But in terms of if you want to learn the language, of course, there's lots of apps that you can use. Duolingo, there's other ones. That's the one I've used. But I also find that what you need to do is just focus on what you want to say. So, for instance, if I want to be able to order in Spanish, like in the DR, that was my main thing, to be able to go to the grocery store, to be able to go out to eat, and be able to ask for food. So I had this big chart where I wrote down all the food products that I ate, and how do I know how to ask for those things. Thailand, it wasn't as big of an issue because you found restaurants everywhere where people spoke English. So it wasn't as big of an issue there. Here it is more of an issue than it was in Thailand and Cairo. So yeah, you learn things in French. So I know how to say, I want fish, or I want chicken, or I want vegetables instead of rice, or, you know, so I just have learned those basic terms.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Good. And that's good advice too. You know, thinking back, I know we had like a week long, like a camp, a language camp. And so, and I like how you talk about like the purpose, like this is the purpose that I need to know this language for this purpose, because that's how they built the camp. So you would learn, you know, if you're in a market, here's the language, and then we would go out to the market to practice it. So I thought they were real good with that, you know, real clever in terms of the
setup. Exactly, because a lot of times with Duolingo and some of the language apps, they're trying to teach you way too many things. Yeah. Whereas you really want to focus on, how do I get food? How do I speak to the maintenance staff at work if I need something to be done in my office, or things like that. So you, and for me, like I said, always, hello, goodbye, how are you, thank you. are the basic ones that you should all know. When I leave work in the evening, I know how to say goodbye to all the guards. And then now I know how to say how to see you tomorrow, or how to answer when they ask me how I'm doing. So even though most of the staff, the maintenance staff or the guards don't speak English, I know how to say good morning, how are you? I'm good, you know, and goodbye, see you tomorrow.
Yeah. Cool. Now, out of all of those experiences in the international spaces, have any been where your role was new, where they were startup?
Yes, the DR was a startup. And even though it was hard, it was not as hard as I think it would have been if I had not already been a counselor for 10 years. Okay. Right. So coming out of Washington, D.C., I was working in D.C. public schools. I had been in D.C. for 9 years by the time I decided to go and try the international thing. So I was pretty versed in, not an expert yet, but I knew how to run, you know, my job. And so I think that was one of the reasons that they hired me. And the funny thing about the DR was that when I got there, I was one of the oldest people there. I was older than the principal.
Wow.
I think I was 35 then.
Okay.
Right. But everybody they were hiring were coming out of college or first or second year teachers. And here Cheryl Ann comes and she's 35. So there were times when I felt like, am I everybody's auntie? I am older than y'all.
Right.
You know, and so it wasn't as hard because I knew what to do. I had worked in the public schools where I had 74 seniors. That first year I had 8. So for me, it was cake.
Right.
Even though it was hard, it was cake because I was just like, I've done 74. I can do 8.
Yeah.
It's going to take a little longer to put systems in place, but I know exactly what to do with each student. And I only had 8, and only 2 of them were looking to go to lead a DR and go to the U.S. So it was stressful in terms of moving to a new place, trying to learn the language, but the work itself was not stressful because, like I said, it was a cakewalk. I had 8 students and it was a really small school. I had 8 seniors and 4 juniors.
Wow.
So,
real small school.
Yeah. And then I think the sophomore class was 12 students, but none of the classes went over 20 in high school. So it was, I did a lot more social emotional, going in the classrooms, talking about bullying and that kind of stuff. But the college counseling piece was very easy.
Okay. Wow. And speaking of college counseling, it is International School Counselor Week coming up. We were talking about that before we started. So definitely saying happy, you know, we appreciate you for all you do. Like I said, I like to make sure everybody, you know, we celebrate everybody when their days and weeks come, you know.
Yes.
So yeah, definitely knowing that schools cannot function well if we did not have counselors.
I mean, I had to train principals, and I tell people this a lot, and I have no problem saying it in that way, because a lot of principals don't know what counselors do, and especially international principals, because a lot of them haven't worked outside of international arenas. So they really don't understand how to use us. So it's a lot of advocating, a lot of making sure you train them, a lot of saying, no, that is not a counseling function. Learn how to say that in my best counselor voice.
Yep.
That's actually not a counseling function.
Yep.
Here's how we should handle this, you know, because a lot of times you get pigeonholed into doing things that nobody else wants to do. So here's this, just do this. Oh, nobody wants to do that? Let's ask the counselor to do that. And it's like, well, actually, that's not a counseling function. So I have learned how to say that a lot. Some principals hate it. Some principals are more open to learning.
Yeah.
I will say I was really lucky that I started in the DR because, not because it was just a small school, but the principal, he knew nothing about counseling, but he was really open. And the best part about that is him and I are like best friends now, 9 years later.
Okay, good.
Because he really was like, well, tell me, what if you don't do it that way, how should you do it? You know, and so that was great. Both him and the head of school really were open to learning and were open to saying, well, we don't know. You know, this is our first senior class. The school had been open, I want to say, 4 years at that time. So it was a brand new school. And they were really, really open to understanding how to use counselors. So I think for me, it was a really good transition into the international arena, even okay. though I had to train him at times.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I like that too, that the training component, because I do find that. And you're all right, because I've seen that. Let's go ask, can such and such do it? And it's the counselor's like, wait a minute, you know. So yeah, I've seen that and heard that plenty of times. Yeah. Especially international schools. So if you were to reflect on, you know, all the different countries, all the different experiences, and pick one that sort of stands out, and think of...
that's a great question.
What would it be?
If my friends ever see this one, they're going to be surprised at the one I picked, because I will have to say Ethiopia.
Okay.
And I did not like living in Ethiopia. It was hard for me personally. I lost a lot of weight. I got sick every time I ate outside of my apartment. I'm one of those people who don't like to cook. So it was torture, because I was just like, now I gotta cook for myself, because when I go out to eat, I get sick. So it was hard for me personally. But the school in Ethiopia was great for a couple of reasons. The resources were there. It was one of the schools where you went to. So for instance, I was in Jamaica before I went to Ethiopia, and I was a 6th through 12th grade counselor, in addition to having to do college counseling for 20-something students. Now, when I went to Ethiopia, I was the 11th and 12th grade counselor, period. Okay. So I did counseling just for 11th and 12th grade. So it was great, because the resources were great. They were willing to give me the resources that I needed to do my job well. There were lots of support. Even though they didn't know, they were willing to hear me. The principal and I had, we had a little bit of run-ins, but for the most part, he was willing to hear me say, look, this is how it's supposed to be done as a counselor. And so I appreciated that piece. I appreciated the fact that we had a ninth and 10th grade counselor, plus I was just the 11th grade and 12th grade counselor, plus there was a middle school counselor, and there was a elementary counselor, so they really used their resources and really gave us the money that we needed. They allowed us to have a good support team. We had our own suite where we all had our counselors' offices next to each other, so we could use each other as a resource. There were other people in the support department, so there was a special ed department. All of those things were missing from the first two schools that I worked in. And so that one, I would have to say, was the best professional experience, because the caseload was smaller, and there was a lot of resources, and working in a counseling department for the first time in a long time was great.
Yeah. Department. Yeah. That makes sense too, especially on that resource side. I think, like you're saying, because I've seen, I have one school, and it's like, you're the counselor for the whole school, you know, it's just like, whoa. Exactly. Yeah, that really.
And it's a lot. It really is a lot. It was one of the reasons why I ended up leaving Jamaica, because I felt like I could have stayed in Jamaica for 10 years.
Right.
But they didn't want to change the way the job was set up. They wanted the counselor to be 6 through 12, and then they wanted it to be 8 through 12 because it was a small school. And when I tried to explain to the head of school that those are three different jobs, because a high school counselor does something different than a middle school counselor. A middle school counselor does something different than an elementary counselor. And while there are those of us out there who are doing that, I say big ups to all of the counselors out there who are doing K-12. I knew that I did not want to do that.
Yeah.
And I knew that it required so much time that you didn't have during the day. So I told her, I was just like, I am not interested in that job. And so I left.
Wow. Yeah. That happens. I know what you mean. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in terms of like learning for counselors, what are some resources and things that you're able to tap into being in the international education space? So how do you stay abreast and aware of sort of what's going on? I know that's always comes up with people. You know?
So you have ASCA, which is the American School Counselor Association, which is chock full of lots of resources, but there's also an International School Counselor Association now. And that one is also really good. The other thing that you can do is there's lots of conferences. So every organization has a conference for counselors. There are conferences, the Council for International Schools, CIS, they have a conference in November. AFCA's conference is at the end of July. ISCA's conference is in March. So there's lots of organizations now. There's an organization called ASA, Association of International Schools in Africa. They have a conference that has a counselor portion, and that one typically happens either February or March. So there's lots of still good professional development organizations, and any of those organizations also have websites and publications. You know, I'm in a Facebook group for professional counselors. That's also a good resource because you can ask people what they're doing. There's a lot you can do. A lot of people think that when you go international, you don't have the resources, but a lot more organizations now are doing professional development for counselors as well.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's perfect. And then from counseling, so what, you know, if you were to, you know, think long term, mm-hmm. how long you want to stay overseas or other positions you want to move into, what would they be?
So I am that weird person that I'm like, I like being a counselor. Yeah. I have no interest in admin. Yeah. And all of my friends are always like, well, you've been a counselor for 21 years now. Don't you want to be an assistant principal or a principal? No, I don't. Yeah. I have no desire. Yeah. I think long term, I may do something else, but I don't see myself long-term saying, I want to go become an administrator. Yeah. I don't have the desire to do that. I think in the next 5 years, I think about what's the next country I want to go to, but I don't think in terms of, oh, I want to go into admin. And I know that is unusual because a lot of people, that is their next step. They right. want to do admin. And I think that's great. I just don't think I have the personality for it. I am an introvert by nature, and admin requires you to talk to a lot of people.
A lot.
I love the children, but I'll tell you this, the adults, woo. Yeah.
I know.
So my personality says, no, don't do admin. Just stay with the children and then phase out into something else. Maybe eventually I'll do consulting.
Yep.
My long-term goal is to go back to the Caribbean or South America so I can be closer to my family. So if I get to the point where I'm just like, I don't want to work in a traditional school anymore, then I think probably what I would do is some consulting and then maybe something different.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I think that's the thing too. I think, like you're saying, I think a lot of people think pathways-wise, you know, if I stay here for so long, then I'm expected to go, you know, into whatever that might be, admin. And I think it's great, like you're saying, you're identifying that my pathway is probably gonna be different, you know, and I'm gonna choose based on, you know, my experience. I'll either stay here and continue doing this because I enjoy it. And like for me, I enjoy the classroom. I have been out for a while. I'm back in. And it just reminds me so much of, this is what I really love to do. Like, I go to school every day and I love it, you know, and it's just one of those things where, like, you do it, you love it so much, and it's like, I could do this until whenever. And knowing that, you know, you don't have to, because again, people think, oh, I have to be a consultant, I have to do this. It's like, well, mm-hmm. you don't have to, you know, do what you enjoy, right. you know.
Right. Maybe I'll, like I said, maybe 10 years from now, 15 yeah. years from now, open a bar on a beach.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. It doesn't necessarily have to be, for me, it's not admin. It doesn't necessarily mean I need to stay in a school till I retire either.
Yeah.
I'm open to whatever possibilities come up. So we'll see where I am in 10 years from now. Because I'll be in my 50s then, so.
Yeah, we're going to be in that 50 crew because I'm right along with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm shocked. People are like, yesterday thought I was like a first-year teacher. I'm looking at them like,
oh, awesome.
Thank you. But that was like 21 years ago. They were like, what?
Exactly.
Not that young. But if you were, you know, if you were to list right now your top three countries, you know, if someone to say, what's on your top three countries, where you want to work?
South Africa, so Johannesburg, yep. Ghana,
okay,
that's definitely one. I don't know what the third one is. Maybe Costa Rica.
Okay.
I'm really intrigued by Costa Rica right now, and so I'm definitely going to do some research about them for the long term. But if I had to pick three, I would have to add Costa Rica, because definitely Ghana, definitely Joburg. I have been stalking their website every 2 years, being like, when is the council going to leave? Want somebody right. need to get out of my job. I told somebody that the other day. They were like, you're so funny. I said, they're in my job.
Right.
So those two places, definitely for sure. Costa Rica, I'm definitely very curious about Costa Rica. And because I was born in the Caribbean, and I'm looking okay. eventually to get back to yeah. a place that has a Caribbean feel.
Yep.
The Caribbean is hard, and the reason why I didn't pick a school in the Caribbean, a country in the Caribbean, is because they pay $0.
Wow.
$0. Their pay is 20s, low 30s. Wow. You can't live off that.
No. Wow.
But South America has some schools that pay better.
Right.
And Asia and, you know, some schools in Africa pay way better. But the Caribbean, I can't see myself going back there to work in a school because they just, the pay is not good.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like what you said too about researching, you know, hanging out on websites, checking to see, like, you know, postings and things. Cause I think a lot of people feel like, you know, I have to go through an agency, you know, I have to. And I know when I first started, I went through an agency. I went through Council of International Schools, CIS, and it was free. I didn't pay. And then I knew about like ISS and search and all of them. But for you, do you, and then nowadays, like even when, with people who come, I say, okay, check them out. You know, if you feel you want to go face to face, that's one route. But yeah. also check out the schools, you know, and see, you know, what's on offer and learn as much as you can, research. And then see finding people who you might know in groups and asking all, you know, doing that behind the scenes work. Do you find nowadays you're more apt to go to like an actual recruitment fair, or, you know, you've been in long enough where you're like, okay, if they post on the website, a lot of schools do, they'll post on the website. You go right through school.
I have an ISS account. I started out when I did the DR in Jamaica. I think I did PIE or
yeah.
CIS or yeah. one of those ones that was free or that was really cheap. I signed up for an ISS account when I was living in Ethiopia. And now that they have Scroll, the Scroll one is much cheaper. So I have that one currently. I do a little bit of both. So the job that I'm currently in was not on ISS. It was on another site, and I cannot remember the name of it now. And that one was free.
See, yeah.
So I tell people, try everything. Try a little bit of everything. I yeah. think ISS is worth it, especially for counselors, because the better schools want you to have either an ISS or a search
right.
Account. So if you want to work in the top schools, you're going to have to come up off of that $200, $300 at least once.
Yeah.
Once you get into a top school, then when you decide to leave, it's different because you already have that experience at a top school. But the international field is, they bougie.
Right.
I'm going to say it that way. They are. And yeah. some schools will not look at you if you don't have an ISS or a search account. They don't care how good you are. You could have been teacher of the year. If right. you don't have that account, they're just like, sorry, we don't take cold emails.
Yeah. Yeah.
But some schools do.
Yeah.
You know, this school, I saw them on a website and I sent them an email. And the principal responded like the next day and was just like, yeah. great, I like your resume. He was like, let's talk. Yeah. But some schools don't. Yeah. So you can do both. You can also choose for one, search or ISS, or and then do CIS and then do TIE if you want to, then do TeachAway. I have only been on one recruiting fair. I don't think I will ever do that again. As an introvert, that thing put me into overdrive. So I went to the one in Atlanta.
Okay.
And I took my sister with me.
Okay.
She took some days off. And I was like, well, come go to Atlanta with me. My cousin was living in Atlanta. So she was like, cool. I would come back every day at the end of the evening. She would look at me and be like, it was that hard. And I would just be like, just talking to lots of people. Like, it is really like a college fair, the way they set it up. And yeah. so you're just talking to people, people, people. And for me, it wore me out. So I would not do it again.
Yeah.
I am fine with doing the Skype interview because I've done it enough times where I'm comfortable with it. I sit in my couch like here, like I'm doing right now, set up my computer, and I'm good.
Yep.
I know for some people, they prefer the face-to-face. And so the fairs are much better for them. The other thing that I find really weird about the fair, and this will tell you a lot about me, is You know what these fairs, they interview in their hotel rooms?
Yeah, I've heard about that.
The first time I was just like, you want me to do what? You want me to come up to your hotel room and interview you where?
I know. I've heard about that.
It made me very uncomfortable. Yeah. And so for me, I'm just like, I think I'll pass on the fairs. I know some fairs are talking about having schools now rent a space and try to do it cubicle style.
Yeah.
We'll see. But I don't see myself going to a fair anytime soon. I'm fine with flying online and doing the Skype interview.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I did. Yeah, my first one, same like you're saying, it was that hurling of cattle and, you know, it's everybody in there and doing like sort of the pre-workshops and then having the different presentations from the schools and sitting down. And the good thing was, like I said, I'd already did my Skype interview in advance.
Right.
When I got there, it was basically, you're going to meet the primary coordinator. She's like a primary principal. Talk with her. And then I talked to other schools too. I said, okay, let me talk to other schools. Talk to like somebody in Dubai and Egypt and then Laos, which I ended up going with. So, but yeah, it was, I know what you mean. It was like, it was full on.
For 3 days. It's just intense is what I tell people. It's very, very intense. Just go to sleep early after.
Exactly.
Go out and part. No, ma'am. I was just like, I need to go and lay down after all that talking to people. My sister and I never went anywhere. And I would come back and she would be like, you want to go out to dinner? And I'd be like, let's go to someplace close, like in my industry. Because I literally need to lay down. Yeah.
Wow. No, I know what you mean. So any advice, those who are looking to get started in international education, and more specifically looking into becoming an international school counselor, what advice would you give them?
I would say go for it. I think a lot of people don't go for it because they think it is harder to get a job than it is. Mm-hmm. You know, even for counselors who are new, if you're a first-year counselor, some school is looking to give you a chance. You may not get into a top school, but I say go for it. Know what you want so that when you interview with schools, you can ask the right questions. That's something I had to learn the hard way. You get to a school and you didn't ask a question and you find out, here's the extra thing that they make counselors do. So ask about the extra duties. Ask about supervision. Ask about the PD budget. Do you get to go every year or is it a pool where they pull somebody's name out of a hat? You know, not every school has a good PD policy. You know, ask about the housing. That's something that I learned really the hard way.
Yeah.
Because, some of the housing is good and some of it you think, really?
Right.
I live better than this in the U.S. So you really have to ask lots of questions. And I always tell people, always ask to speak to somebody at the school off the record.
Yeah.
If you don't know somebody already, if you're not in the Facebook group that we have is great so you can, you know, DM somebody. But if you don't know somebody, ask, can I speak to a teacher? Can I speak to more than one? Because a lot of times principals will set you up with a teacher that's the happiest.
Right.
Right. And they're going to tell you wonderful things about the school, but it's not always the truth.
Yeah.
You know, so I always say ask lots and lots of questions. Go and look at their website. If you see somebody's name on there, you know them, send them an email and ask them for their honest opinion, because it's 2 years for the most part. When you sign a contract, it's 2 years. And if you get into a school where it is a challenge, it's still 2 years. I mean, you can break your contract or you can get let out. I'll tell you one good story. When I was in Egypt, I ended up taking a middle school counselor position at the last school. Couldn't find a high school position in the places I wanted to go. The only places I was seeing was China. I didn't want to go to China.
Yeah.
So I saw the school in Egypt and I applied and it was a middle school position. I thought, how bad can it be?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I'm a high school counselor.
Right.
I don't ever want to do just middle school again. And I think because I thought I had done middle school for 2 years in Jamaica, I was like, I've done it. You know, it's not horrible. It isn't. But I quickly learned that middle school was not what I wanted to do all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, you learn a lot of things and it's okay. Try it. Like I said, I did it. I did it for a year and a half. And then I went to the head of school and I said to him, look, these three schools are interviewing. I know I signed a 2-year contract, but the paperwork says if I let you know before December 1st that there's no penalty. I was like, is that true? And he paused and he said, well, that's not what we meant to say. I said, well, that's what it says. I said, so I'm telling you, so next year you can change the paperwork. I said, but for this year, here is what I want to do. And he was great. He allowed me to leave. You know, I had one more year in Egypt. And he said, if you don't get one of those three jobs, will you stay? And I said, yeah. And he said, okay, go for it. Okay. You know, but most principals, most head of schools won't do that. Right. So I got lucky. But go, do it for 2 years. If you don't like it, you can go to somewhere else, you know. A lot of people also feel like they have to stay at a school 4 or 5 years. You don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Go do the 2 years. If you're like, this is not for me, go back to the U.S. If it is for you and you think I'd rather be in another country, go and apply to another country. The thing is, you can't know what it's like to live in a country until you get there, even when you ask all the right questions.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid to say, this isn't for me.
I agree. And like you said, three words, go for it. I think that's the big
thing. Go for it.
A lot of people want, I want to do it. I'm like, do it. Because I was in that same place too. I remember when my mentee and the guy I met, they had talked about it. And I wrote it down. Okay, I'm going to do it at some point. You know, then when he said, I'm going to Africa, I'm going to be in Sudan. I was like, all right, let me just go. You know, let me go and go. So, yeah.
You can surprise yourself. You know, you surprise yourself. None of my friends thought, nobody that knew me, not my mother, not my sisters, thought I would still be doing international counseling 9 years later. Because I loved living in the Maryland, D.C. area. Loved it.
DMV, yeah. DMV, yeah.
When I said I was leaving, my sister was like, really? You are? She was like, but you love it there. I do. And I thought, initially, I really thought I was only going to go for 1 year. I was just like, DR school, it was a 1 year contract. And I thought, I'm burned out. This will be great. It's by the beach. Hey, it's a small school. It's the first year I can set up their counseling program. Mm-hmm. It was a win-win.
Yeah.
And, you know, I ended up staying the second year.
Yeah.
And then I kept coming. And I don't really have any plans right now to go back to the U.S. anytime soon. I don't know what's going to happen, but I don't have any plans to be like in 2 years, in 3 years. Like, let's see what happens.
Right. Yeah.
I keep going.
Perfect. Well, thank you for sharing your story. We're so happy. And then, like I said, any other, you gave out resources, you know, professional development, a lot to think about, especially when people are getting started. But any last sort of closing thoughts or, you know, things, again, that people that you just want to put out there for, again, anyone who's considering or anyone who's out there already?
I would always say connect with people. Like, with the Facebook groups, a lot of people don't think about doing that, and they don't think they're legitimate groups because they're Facebook group people, who, especially people who don't love social media. But I will tell you, the Facebook groups are great. Like I said, I'm in Brothers and Sisters, working in international schools, your group. There's another professional school counselors of color Facebook group that I'm in. CIS has a Facebook group. The International Organization for College Counselors has a Facebook group. Join the Facebook groups.
Yeah.
You can meet people in those groups. You can ask all your questions. You don't have to talk to anybody. You can just read everybody's information and read all the questions that people are asking. But the information that you get in those Facebook groups is invaluable.
I agree.
You know, because people are being at their most honest, especially in the counselor group and in the brothers and sisters group. Yeah. People are honest. If something crazy has happened at their school, we don't name the school, but we talk about it honestly. So you get to have a really good idea of what you're getting into. So that's the one thing I would say people should do more of, is join the Facebook groups, because you get to know the real information in there.
Exactly. Well, thank you, Cheryl Ann. And we look forward to seeing, you know, what's to come. You know, whether you stay there or years from now, you end up, you know, hopping somewhere else, as I like to say.
Like I said, somebody in Joburg or Ghana need to get out my job. Think about that thing. I'm like, get out my job.
All right. Well, thanks again. And we will send, like I said, again, we will send you the record so you have it as well.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. You too. Bye.